Glad that you are here, and if you think that I do not know what I'm up against, you are greatly mistaken. What happens when on a Sunday afternoon you eat and then sit down and listen to a guy talk for 30 minutes? I know, and I am watching you. And if you think the title of this or the topic is by accident, you're mistaken again. That is the topic for a good reason. You know, a few years ago, I heard about a lady who insisted that her husband go to the doctor. And, you know, guys don't want to make appointments very well. And she made the appointment for him, and she took him in and talked to the doctor for him. And so the doctor's there and says, well, what's the problem? Why are you here? And she said, well, he's got a problem snoring. It's awful. And she went on and on. And so he said, so it bothers you, you know, is it really bothersome to you? And she said, no, I wouldn't say that. It's embarrassing to me. It's the rest of the church it bothers. And I don't want any of that going on today. Jerry Barber, many of you know Jerry. Jerry likes to make fun of himself. He said a number of years ago, well, he had reached the point of exhaustion in his work, and he was preaching one night and then just passed out. You know, he just fell to the floor and had to go to the doctor, and they gave him a full physical and everything, and the doctor just said, you know, you're exhausted. And he said, you know, if I can fall asleep on my own sermon, I have to let other people have the right to go to sleep too. So if you're here and you get sleepy, I understand. But if you're sitting next to a person that's getting sleepy, poke them. We'll help each other here. Acts 20. If you have your Bible, turn it to Acts 20. Because that's the story of Eutychus. Eutychus is one of those historical records that I'm glad that God chose to record for us. There's some information here that just looks like kind of a narrative. It's just kind of thrown in. But there's stuff that we can learn from this. And that's what I want to do. I want to look at this account dealing with Eutychus and then make some practical application. And the lesson will be yours this afternoon. Eutychus, Paul had delayed there at Troas, taking the Lord's Supper with them on the first day of the week. He preached till midnight, you know, so it's a long ordeal. And while he is preaching and while it is late at night, one of those who were present in that assembly was sitting in the window, third story. That's why we don't have third story churches anymore, I think. But he got sleepy. And he fell asleep and did that nod thing probably. You know how we've done, or your children have done. You know, you just kind of, and he lost his balance and he fell out of the window and he died. And we've made light of this sort of, we talk about it, and that's the guy that fell asleep in church. And somebody's written a song about him. You know, there was a man upstairs in church, you know, who fell out of the window, that VBS song. So the little kids know about Eutychus. We know about Eutychus. But there's more than just an anecdotal story here. I think there are some lessons that we can learn from this account. It must have been, if you were in the church in the first century, if you were there that Sunday when that young man fell out the window, it wouldn't be a laughing matter. This is a brother. This is maybe your nephew or your grandson or your son who just died. It would have been a tragic thing for this congregation of people. And Paul went down and of course raised him up, as the Bible says. And because of that, the church, it was like such a relief. It was a comfort to them. And you can imagine somebody falling out. I've preached a number of times when people have had heart attacks. We had a regular visitor from the EMTs. when I was preaching in Kentucky for a while, just about every Sunday for a period of 3 months, they were making a run to our building because somebody had passed out. And there were always people in the balcony. And so they were trying to get that gurney up there. You can imagine what that was like. And it was a terrifying time. People doing CPR and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation while everybody's assembled. It's a scary thing. That's what happened here. And I can imagine everybody just being distraught. And then Paul saves the day, raises this young man back to life, and they are comforted. So let's look at a few points that I think that we can learn from this story of Eutychus. First thing is this. I want to ask you this question. How are you going to be remembered? Let's say you're gone tomorrow. What will you be remembered for? Eutychus is remembered as the guy who fell out of the window. Not the most noble thing to be remembered for. There are some things that happened that showed the power and glory of God as he's brought back to life, but you don't want to be the guy who fell out of the window because you fell asleep when you should have been listening to the preaching. How will you be remembered? What will your children, what will your neighbors, what will your coworkers, what will your schoolmates remember you for? If I can't give you a good answer to that question, then I need to change some things in my life. I don't want to be remembered as the guy. I want people to remember my life in a different way. I want people to remember me. I want to live beyond the length of my years, but not in infamy. I want to be remembered for good things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 talks about Abel, the very first man to lose his life while here on this earth. He was murdered by his brother Cain. And from the beginning of time, from the time of Abraham, from the time of Abel, the Hebrew writer says that though he's dead, he still speaks. Still today, he's speaking. And what he says is, I was a faithful child of God. I was pleasing to the Lord. I obeyed his commands. I was worshiping, and I was killed because of my faithfulness and the jealousy of my brother. Will you have that kind of testimony? Will people remember you for the good that you did, or that will they remember you for, hot-headed, temper, poor choices that caused me to doubt his integrity or her integrity? I hope that we're thinking about those kind of things. We want to leave our family with a legacy that they can be proud of. We want our life to live on and affect generations to come. In fact, the matter is it will, but in which direction? I want people to go to heaven because of my life. And we should all want that. So that demands that we live a certain way and conduct ourselves in a way that when it's time for us to go, we have left and will be remembered for the things that we want to be remembered for. Second thing that I want you to see from the life of Eutychus is I want to ask you this. Would you have gotten angry with God? What are they doing? Well, they're worshiping. They've gathered together. They've listened to a sermon, a long sermon, all the way to midnight he was preaching. And this poor young man fell out of the window doing good. He's at church. Why would God let that happen to him? What kind of a God would allow this young man who's trying to do right to suffer such horrible consequences? And his family, probably his mom and dad were there, and they were like in shock. My son is dead. And how can this happen? How can it happen at church of all places? Oh, I can hear people saying, why, God? Why? Isn't that a common thing that is often said? Don't we sometimes question God when things happen in our lives that we don't like, that hurt? You go back to Job chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10 in that area, and you remember Job's wife. I mean, Job received a series of bad news consecutively. And here's the way it worked. As this person was still speaking, another servant came and said, "I've got bad news for you." And as he was still speaking, another servant came and said, "I've got horrible news for you." It was just a succession of blows that I've never known anyone in my life other than Job to have to endure such hardship. Job's wife is so, well, put out with God that she looks at Job and says, "Job, come on. Why are you maintaining your integrity? God has forsaken us. How in the world can you still be faithful to God? Why don't you just curse God and die? Look at what has happened to you today." And Job said, "No. You're talking like a crazy lady now. There's no way that I'm going to do that. Are we going to receive good from the Lord and not accept when evil falls our way? That doesn't make sense. I'm not going to serve God just when he's blessing me and turn my back on him when hardship comes. That's not who I am." But that's who a lot of people are. Let a bump in the road, a bump in their life happen. Let their cage get rattled just a little bit. Let them experience hardship in life and disappointment and heartbreak. And oftentimes people flee from God. They turn from him. They get angry with him. "How can you allow this to happen when I'm your child? You should love me enough to not protect me from this kind of thing." I don't want to be the person who says, "God, you can count on me. I mean, I'm going to stand in this pulpit and I'm going to preach for you so long as people pat me on the back and tell me I did a good job. And people write me encouraging notes and tell me that was really insightful." But I'll tell you, the day when people quit patting me on the back and the day when I start getting critics, you can find someone else to do that, because I don't need that. You know, if that's my attitude, I don't want that to be me. That's ugly. Had Job adopted that attitude, would we be talking about Job today? Had Job said, "God, because of this, I will curse you, and I'll go to my grave and die. I'm okay with it. I hate what you have done to me." We wouldn't be talking about Job. The quality about Job is that he endured the hardship and he stayed faithful to God. He didn't let go. And that's what we need to do as well. When life gets a little ugly and messy and difficult and painful and heartbreaking, don't let go. There's never been a more important time in your life to cling on and hold on as tightly as you know how to do it. Here's a third thing that I can learn from this story of Eutychus, and that is that he was in the right place trying to do the right thing. That's more than can be said for a lot of people. Yeah, he fell asleep on the Apostle Paul. Not the best thing to do, but he was trying. He was in the right place trying to do the right thing, and that's more than a lot of people will do. You know, there's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Balaam. He was a greedy man. He's used as an example in the New Testament in the book of Jude and 2 Peter as a man who was greedy and someone unworthy of imitating. But he prayed an interesting prayer in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. You know what he said in his prayer? You see, he's the guy that sold out. God said, "I'm going to bless my people." And he kept trying to get God to not bless them because there was money involved. If he could pronounce a curse on his people, he'd be rich And so he kept coming back to God and saying, do you have anything else to say? Is there something else? Can you give me an update? And the reason he went through that is because he wanted some money. He was trying to curse the people of God. Here's what Numbers 23 and verse 10 says. In this prayer that Balaam prayed, he said this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. That is full of irony. Balaam was unwilling to live the life of the righteous, yet he wanted to die the death of the righteous. He wanted the end of his existence to be that of what happens to righteous people, but he was unwilling to live among and with and as a righteous person. And so he prays to God. It's like sowing your wild oats and just praying for crop failure. You know, that's what he was basically doing. And it was foolish. This man was at least trying to do right. He wasn't like the person who's doing his own thing and then just crossing his fingers hoping that God will bless him in the end. That's not who he was. He was a man who was at the right place. He went to church and he fell asleep. Okay, shouldn't have fallen asleep. But that brings me to the fourth and final point. There are reasons, maybe, that he fell asleep that don't impugn his integrity and what was going on. There are a lot of reasons why people don't respond to the gospel as they should. You know, here, the Apostle Paul, somebody falls asleep on one of his sermons. But what do you know about Eutychus? All I know is that he was a young man. Could he have been a servant? Could he have worked hard all day long? And now he's at church on this evening and the preacher goes really long. And sitting down, maybe they had a little cover dish, you know, not long before. They did a little bit after, I know, and took the Lord's Supper. But wonder if there were reasons why he fell asleep, other than just being bored. You know, it wasn't necessarily lack of attention. There could be a number of reasons why he did what he did. And that's a truth that I think we need to understand with reference to people in general, to be patient with them. Sometimes our expectations of people are really high. And if it was, you know, if you were thinking about me, I would want you to be more gracious to me than sometimes what I am to other people. And why do people not obey the God? You know, here in Acts chapter 17, we were talking about this morning when Paul was in Thessalonica, he reasoned, he explained and demonstrated how that Jesus Christ had to come and to die and to raise again from the dead. You know, he went through that, and not everybody believed. But does that mean that everybody that didn't immediately believe had a bad heart? Or did they just need time to mull this over, to think and to study and to soak it in and let it soak in? You may talk to people about Jesus and expect them like, okay, well, you know, I just preached a sermon. I was really plain. How come the front pews aren't filled up? Do I not have enough patience to realize that sometimes it takes time and I have to sort things out and weigh things and consider and mull upon before I make changes? There are reasons that are sometimes good reasons for people not doing what I expect them to do in the moment. Eutychus may have been a slouch. He may have been somebody that didn't have any interest. His mom and dad made him go to church at night. And he got way up in there in the third floor and sat in the window because the air was cool coming in. And he wasn't really interested in sitting close enough to where Paul was preaching to hear him. and he had no intention on intention of listening, and he fell asleep and fell out the window. That could be. But I sure wouldn't assign that to him. I mean, operating under the law of love that we're supposed to operate under, think the best, love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, 1 Corinthians 13. I would much rather think that here's a young man who's in the right place, trying to do the right thing, and for factors that came to bear, he got tired. And it wasn't his intention, but it happened. And so, you know, here's the whole story. But I hope that we treat people with patience. When people don't respond the way I think they should respond right now, why didn't that person in the hallway talk to me this morning? I mean, we passed each other, and I tried to make eye contact, and they didn't even make eye contact with me. I don't think they like me. I think they're mad at me for some reason. Or I just think they're stuck up. You see, we can do that. Maybe what's going through their mind is they got a phone call right before they got to church about somebody they love that lives in another state, and they're just deep in thought and not even thinking about. Maybe they're on a mission to go tell somebody else something that's really important, and they're just thinking about that, and they just walk right past you. You see, there are other reasons other than bad things. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Let's give Eutychus the benefit of the doubt. So from this story, it's more than just anecdotal. I think there are lessons that we can learn from this young man. I'm glad Paul used and was allowed to use his miraculous ability and powers that he had to raise him back and to give him another chance. We don't have that, so stay awake. But here's what I'd like to close with, and I want to remind you of. Let's let this story of Eutychus, what would have been a very tragic day in the history of that church, what must have really shook those folks when they realized one of their own has fallen to their death, to his death in church. Man. The grief that must have been experienced momentarily, but it was redeemed by the power of God. And as deep as their grief was, can you imagine the height of their joy once he was raised from the dead? Listen, if you find yourself in the right place today, and you are, this is where you need to be, then do the right thing. Eutychus was in the right place, but he fell asleep. You're in the right place. Don't let the opportunity that you have right now pass you. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, take advantage of that. You're in the right place. Do the right thing while you're here. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you need the prayers of your brethren, we'll pray with you if you'll come as we stand together and sing.